This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. It's the top of the hour, and people, continue to scratch their heads. You know, Scott, wondering, you know, what's going on here? You know, we got people rioting. What are they rioting about? And in case you wonder, I think a great tutorial is what Bill Federer shared with us this morning. Earlier, so you can go back and listen to the podcast at your convenience at BillMartinezLive.com or GCN.com, and just pull down Bill Martinez Live and listen to that tutorial from Bill Federer. This is nothing new. This has been happening from time immemorial, and you would think that by this time we would figure it out, that there are diabolical forces. You're just not going to have the great American experiment that we have and not have it be attacked. This is historical and hysterical as well, you might say. Anyway, Kellyanne Conway last night chimed in about the protesters. And again, she's saying what most people are saying, and that is we're not even sure what it is that they're protesting about. Here, listen to Kellyanne.
As you look at what's happening on the other side of the country, where they've got this libertarian who works for Breitbart, he's scheduled to come in. Next thing you know, you got hundreds of people. You got people with masks. They're destroying a Starbucks. What's going on out there?
What's going on out there is what's going on all across the country. You've got protesters who feel very emboldened. They've got media cameras following them. They give interviews. I don't even know if they know what they're protesting. I'd love to do this big survey nationwide and ask everybody outside these airports, on the college campuses, what's got you so in a lather? I mean, really, is it the free speech? Having somebody maybe on your campus who has a dissenting point of view or wants to present an alternative point of view? And look, in the real world, when these kids grow up and go to try to find jobs, which they will in the Trump economy, right, life doesn't work that way,
yeah,
folks. You're going to work with people who disagree with you. You're going to encounter folks,
right,
who don't, you know, aren't just cosseting you in this protective environment. But look, the president has a point. It's like they don't welcome free speech. They're not protecting the First Amendment. I'm sure they don't hear much of it off the college campus in the classrooms. And that's just unfortunate, but not surprising.
It's everywhere. And it's happening with Democrats on Capitol Hill. We're watching them pretend to sing at night when their microphones don't work, and walking out of committee meetings instead of confirming. So why wouldn't these 22-year-olds think that's the way to do things if their elected leaders are doing the same thing?
Well, you know, he brings a little bit of a point here. There's no question that there are examples abound. But when you have impressionable sheep, let's just say, these kids are getting caught up here. And, to Kellyanne's point, I agree with her. I don't think that they really even know what they're protesting. I don't think it takes a lot of surveying, although that's what she does. So she would think that way. And she does a great job at surveying people. If you think not, hey, look who won the election. So a lot of credit there. But, you know, when you hear, Jesse Waters, you know, for example, or other people interviewing people on the street, you can tell they're clueless. They're just going along. And in some cases, as we're finding out, and, you know, don't be shocked here, that people are being paid. And, you know, now the states are saying, hey, look at you're making money here. Where's the tax? You know, we want you to pay your taxes. I mean, this is absolutely insane. But it's lawlessness, ladies and gentlemen. You got to call it for what it is. And this is not an acceptable expression of your First Amendment right. You know, destroying Starbucks and buildings that, the people, even the students that they themselves had erected, and boy, did a lot of cakewalks to, raise that money to pay for that building. Now it's destroyed. What, all in the name of free speech? You got to be kidding me. No, it's all in the name of anarchy, and all in the name, you know, as some would say, even George Soros, that he paid for professional rioters to be there. This is what's happening, and, you know, you've got to see it for what it is. Our culture is being adversely influenced by outside agents whose interest is not we the people and our U.S. Constitution. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. The conversation continues at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, and if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. Bottom-up movement, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into this mess. This is a government of and for and by we the people, which means we've got to be engaged here. Shauna Bircher is back with us. Always a good. I really appreciate her perspective and balance. She's a media strategist and president of Democracy Legacy. Shauna, how are we doing with Democracy Legacy? Is it coming together pretty good now?
Next Wednesday. I'm so excited to have another voice out there and so thankful to be here today.
Well, congratulations. Well, I'll tell you, I really like having your perspective here, and particularly on this new article that you wrote, which is very timely, and that's Trump's war with the media. Good or bad? What do you say?
Well, I think anytime you're declaring war with one of the branches of government, and I consider the media to be almost the fourth branch of government, like so many others, that's not a really good start. I think regardless of what you think of Trump's policies, whether you like them, don't like them, you're upset about what's happening, you're thrilled with what's happening, at the end of the day, we can all agree taking criticism is probably not one of his strengths right now.
You think he's a little sensitive, huh? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
He's too much in touch with his inner self, right? I understand.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, being in the media, as you know, criticism is part of the job. You can walk off the air and think, man, that was the best thing ever, and have 10 hate emails waiting for you when you get home. And
Right. Some
of that you take in as constructive criticism, and some of you take it in as, man, this person must have had the worst day ever, you know, and they're just putting it in my direction. But it's part of the job. And so I feel like this war against the media is part of that he doesn't handle criticism well. We're seeing that play out with some of his diplomatic conversations. It did not go well with Australia a couple of days ago. Mm. So that, I think, is the more troubling part of it.
Mm. Well, I think, is there some validity, you know, as you see it, for the media to take note? As you say, you know, you get criticized and, you know, you process it. And, you know, if you can and say, okay, and learn something, you know, from it. The criticism has been in a general context, and it must have, you know, some feet and some veracity, because Trump has been able to rally a lot of people around that clarion call to question, you know, the veracity of the media. And of course,
yeah,
the media gets mixed in with a lot of information. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You really have some defined fake news out there, which may not necessarily be all you know, the media's responsibility, but, you know, news is news, and it's out there, and it's all getting kind of homogenized.
Yeah, and I think, too, he does have a fair bone to pick with the media. As really, we could make a case against the media from all perspectives today. We could spend a lot of time doing that. But at the end of the day, is it fair to say that mainstream media treated him like a joke? Absolutely. Is it fair to say that they patronized and mocked some of his supporters? Absolutely. Right? And then the other side of that is the troubling support, for lack of a better word, that does not really, it's not the same as the main people that support him. You know, when you see the Nazi regime and the Ku Klux Klan and David Duke, all of that is extremely troubling and should have been covered with a more serious tone instead of a mocking tone.
Exactly.
But at the same time, is not indicative of most Trump supporters,
right?
I mean, that most Trump supporters are not like that. They have legitimate concerns with the country, and it felt like they had no other candidate to turn to.
Right.
So, yeah, there's absolutely some legitimate problems with how things have been covered. I think the question is, well, now we're in a situation we've literally never faced before when you consider technology, where we're at as a country, the complexity of the global situation with terrorism, et cetera. How do we move on and how do we cover it from here? Because that really, we can't go back to business as usual. This is not Walter Cronkite's generation, you know?
Well, and I know your heart is such, and this is why your vision to, you know, construct a democracy legacy is to be a reliable source, to be that that critical fourth rail of government, as you referred to earlier, which is so critical because, you know, everybody gets injured when people are out of order, and the media has been out of order for a while. There has not been that that voice to, you know, get the media. Look, I don't want the media to be all conservative. I don't want them to be all liberal. I want them to give me the facts. I want them to document history. That is their reason for being, is to document history so that we can look back 20 years and say, hey, what happened 20 years ago? You know, now we have to think back that we've been in this era of prejudicial reporting and biased reporting to such a degree that if you don't understand and you're looking back, well, forget it. I mean, let's just say let's fast forward 100 years and you look back and you're gonna have a very confused and discontorted perspective of what happened here in this early 21st century because the media has not documented history appropriately, in my opinion.
I agree with you, and I think it's actually worse in the fact that you would think with so much accessibility, right, with any of the main outlets that we have, not only do they have 24 hours, but they have their own websites, they have their own Twitter feeds. They literally have unlimited ability for content. And so even when they are, as you put it really well, documenting something, there's no context to it, right? And they're expecting me as a citizen, a busy citizen with jobs and family and health condition and whatever the situation might be, to Google and understand what these phrases mean and understand why I should care and look up whether or not something is constitutional. I mean, that is not my job, right? My job is to care. Where do I go to understand it from A to Z?
Exactly.
And that's another place where I feel like they've really let us down, is that context.
But that's the opportunity for Democracy Legacy and others like you, Shauna, that are kind of come along and say, all right, it is time for, you might say, the media to be born again and to really, you know, review where they've been, you know, the mistakes they've made. I mean, because after all, I mean, there's empirical evidence. People are checking out from the mainstream media. You know, you and I had this conversation the last time that, you know, when I was a kid growing up, 85% of the of TV viewing was you know, dedicated to three, you know, networks. You know, now it's less than 50% because of, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot more options. But with those additional options, we need to be wise and all aware that not everybody is as sincere and, you know, focused on delivering the truth.
And the nice thing is that this is not something where people are helpless passengers, right? Because in order for the media to have the ability to cover what's going on, we're now all relying upon citizens and voters, humans, to tell us what's happening in your community. Help us understand how this law is impacting you, or help us by, you know, pull out your iPhone and film what's happening when you see something. You're like, this doesn't seem right to me, you know? And so that, I think, is what can be beautiful about this. And I know that that's inconvenient to some people because it makes it messy and, you know, Sally might say something that doesn't fit with the narrative that I had pre-typed for today.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But that is what we need. And so the hope is that it's not that we identify a few core voices to replace how it used to be. Again, it needs to be that we amplify the voices of those people that are out there. And they might not have all of the answers, but they see something, they feel like it's important, and they share it with us so we can help.
Exactly.
Context. We can.
Shauna, we'll be back.
What you eat? No, not true. You are what you can't absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium-quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protovite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3411. 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 67cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I like what Noam Chomsky said. He says, how is it that we have so much information but know so little? Shauna Vircher is with us, media strategist, president of Democracy Legacy. Shauna, you know, it is so important for the media to get engaged in an appropriate manner. I say appropriate that we get out of the realm of the biases that has been more the order of the day. You know, certainly there's room for it. We have lots of pundits in this information age in which we live in. But when it comes down to, you know, documenting history, as I say, the resources that are available to these big media machines, we need their efforts, put and directed in such a way that they hold our elected officials accountable, especially in light of, these presidential edicts that have been coming down. I mean, we just cannot have executive orders flying around and people legislating from, from the judges' chairs and this sort of thing and being activists without the media participating in holding our elected officials accountable. What do you say? Did we lose her?
And can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead, Shauna. I'm sorry. Okay. I just couldn't hear you for a second here. Go ahead.
Technical difficulties. But, I think effort is a really big part of what you were saying before, which is that it does take a lot of effort to fact check before you just run with a headline and try to beat someone else to it. It takes effort to call around and build relationships with reliable sources like attorneys and people that specialize in different subject matter, like Mideast relationships, to actually get useful reporting. And what we've seen is just slicing of those types of budgets and increasing of budgets for things like, you know, celebrity spokespeople that just get on there and say whatever they feel like it, right?
Right.
And so it is something that it's not just going and getting the answers, then presenting them in a way that makes sense, and then saying, okay, how does this relate to someone? Why should I be concerned about this or not? Is it something that maybe much ado has been made about nothing? But it's happening, like you say, so fast. Can you even believe it's been less than 2 weeks? It's just such a whirlwind right now.
Right. Well, yeah, he definitely has gotten things moving in the Beltway. If they thought for a minute that it was going to be business as usual, hello, we're 2 weeks down the road and things are flying so quickly, it is very difficult for this bureaucracy to catch up. But I think they're going to find out, and they're finding out here that you lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way, you're going to get run over.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are experts that are there to advise and help. You know, you take this. There were actually more people on Twitter that talked about the what's been known as the Muslim ban, the executive order having to do with travel and citizenship and immigration restrictions. There's been more conversation about that than the inauguration and the Women's March combined. Mm. People absolutely care about that. Now, that is a great sign. The fact that America is paying attention and that we care so much and that we're passionate about it on all different sides and we're trying to understand it. The bad thing is that we're not getting past, okay, this happened and Americans care. Yeah, we know that much. Explain to us what's fact and what's fiction.
Exactly.
Is it true that it's discriminatory? Is it true that we're safer? Is it true? I mean, these are important questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and this is the process we have to get through. I mean, whether it's climate change, the moratorium on refugees and this sort of thing, which on one hand should not have been a surprise. I mean, because this is what he campaigned on, saying that it was time to do some vetting. Of course, he talks about vetting, and then it's the senators that are doing, you know, super vetting on his cabinet.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's just, you're right. He has adhered to what he said on the campaign trail, which has caused a lot of other senators and elected officials a lot of grief because we've talked about how the media didn't take him seriously. Let's be candid. The Republican administration of leadership did not take him seriously for quite some time. Mm. And so now they have as you know, one Republican is not the same as another Republican is the same as another Republican. They have very complex issues. You know, one Texas Republican, a congressman, was saying, listen, I have 800 miles of border here. Exactly how are we getting a wall up? So these are legitimate questions that everyone would have loved asked maybe a little bit earlier before we started, like, writing things into law, into an executive order. But like you say, we're here now. So how do we scramble to keep up?
Well, and this is the deal. You see, where people, you know, don't quite understand. For me, you know, I see this so clearly, Shauna, because I've seen this in business. I've consulted companies, you know, gosh, almost all my life, it seems. You know, where there's always, in a business organism, there's always that visionary. And the visionaries always talk in broad strokes. They don't talk in particulars. That's not their job. They need administrators. They need, you know, he needs his cabinet. He needs the people who can come alongside and start putting, you know, skin, you know, he'll give you the skeleton, say, okay, we're going to build a wall. Okay, now, and he can say so far as that, because of his business background, he can say Mexico's going to pay for it. Well, you know, let there be no doubt. Mexico is going to pay for it. I mean, he's a deal maker. And the thing is, after it's all said and done, Mexico will pay for it. They're not going to write a check directly, but there is a way, because there's a, you know, there's a big pie that's being sliced up here. And it's going to be divvied out in such a way that it will be accounted for, and revenues that would, you know, go clearly to Mexico will be diverted, and it'll all be a wash. And the good news is that Mexico is going to be really happy with the deal. I believe that to be the case. But anyway, getting back to his personality, that is that he's a visionary. So he's not going to get into all these particular details. And, you know, but that's where, you know, a good administrator and a guy like Mike Pence and others in his cabinet that will come alongside, and they will fill in the details.
Exactly. The big adjustment here is not just on our end, right? Because putting what you're saying, which is a perfect analogy when you talk about businesses, that's his background, that's how things work. And maybe what you're saying with the negotiations will work out and maybe it won't, but what we do know is that most CEOs don't make decisions and have to steer their companies with the world watching and cameras rolling 24 hours a day with people waiting for you to fail.
Right. And
that is what's going to make it tricky.
Right. Well, and this is the ultimate deal. I mean, he's gonna write another book. You know, The Deal Maker in Bureaucracy, because it's not only just that you've got the eyes of the world on you, you're bringing a bureaucracy with you that has been well established. They've been well spoiled. You know, and now we got a new sheriff in town who's about the people's business. I mean, the fact that he even tells Boeing says, hey, this is gonna be $4 billion for the airplane. You know, give me the check, sucka. He goes, hey, I don't think so. I mean, you know, Boeing's never heard that before. We the people have never heard that from a president before, saying, I'm not going to pay $4 billion for a plane. So I don't know if he channeled his president Nieto from Mexico, saying he ain't going to pay $4 billion for a plane, whatever. But it was refreshing to hear.
Yeah, I think that with any, let's use the most flattering portrayal of him, which he's a guy that's going to come in and clean things up, and that really what he's brought is almost this refreshing superpower to D.C. Now, other people are going to disagree with this summation, but let's run with the most flattering portrayal of him, right? Even under that situation, superheroes have to learn that responsibility, that when they do something, it has a greater weight than other people. They have to learn to control those powers, and I'm talking specifically about Twitter here, right, that there is too much of a good thing. And so this is an adjustment period for him. And what I'm hopeful for is what I have not seen a lot of, forget the cabinet for just a second, because that has its own level of red tape and bureaucracy, even when they get in. Mm-hmm. But the advisors around him, if I could say one thing that really does not bode well, that I would like to see changed, is when someone challenges him, again, making full circle, he doesn't deal with it well.
Yes.
You need those people around you. You need your friends to see you for who you are and say, hey, listen, man, you're messing up right now.
Yeah.
So let's
hope
they start to rise to that.
Yeah, you got that one right, but that part was wrong, certainly. And there was a lot of question over last weekend's edict, the way that came down in the travel ban or the moratorium, however you want to call it. Shauna Vircher, media strategist, president of Democracy Legacy. Congratulations on the new entity here, Shauna. We're looking forward to getting you fully into the mix here, okay?
How would you like to pay less taxes?
Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes.
If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes.
If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America today. Today.
Your program, your calls.
Today.
Your opinions. Live.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, of thee I sing.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We got Thomas Miller with us, senior fellow whose research areas with the American Enterprise Institute include market-based alternatives to Obamacare, health insurance regulation, information transparency, and value-based measurement for health care services. Tom, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good to be with you. These days it seems to be Obamacare and ACA all the time, but
yeah,
we'll move
no
on
question.
To something better.
Well, hopefully we will, because, well, I think we're at a point, Tom, we don't have a choice. I mean, America has said, look, repeal the thing, but give me something you're going to replace it with. And I got to tell you, I'm a little critical of the GOP at this point, because it's not like just yesterday they found out about the Affordable Care Act. They've been working on this thing for 6 years, and their, I guess, inability to articulate an alternative at this point of the game is a little disappointing, frankly.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's certainly the dog chewed their homework, and it's a little bit overdue.
Right. Well, you hear the public says, look, we want health care. Clearly, that's the mandate there. They want health care, but they want something that's going to be functional. And you've been studying, you've been on top of this from day one, Tom. Where are we? Particularly, speaking of mandate, is the individual mandate, is that still in play?
Well, it is currently in place, although it's pretty wobbly and shaky. It's more of a gentle suggestion for most people, and for those individuals who remain subject to it, because there are a bunch of exemptions and people who don't fall into that category. A number of millions of Americans have decided they'd rather pay that individual mandate because its penalties are relatively low compared to purchasing insurance, even with subsidies, which might be cost more than it's worth to them. So the compliance and the enforcement has been weak. Not that the mandate was a good idea to begin with, but whatever the theory behind it was, the actual practice has been very different.
Well, some people, when they hear individual mandate, Tom, they think that we're getting into single payer. Is that still negotiable?
That would be a very early stage. That might have been in the gleam of the eyes of the original architects, who couldn't really push through single payer. Or something close to it. So the individual mandate was a softer version of trying to bridge the gap between wanting to have someone else pay for everyone else's coverage, but not wanting to raise the taxes or making the prices visible. And the hope was, not the execution, that you could somehow coerce a lot of people to pay more for their insurance in order to provide the money to subsidize other people and ultimately cover everyone. Didn't work out that way because the estimates of the expanded coverage are much lower than projected, particularly by the Congressional Budget Office, and the compliance and the enforcement were different. So it's another one of those great theories that didn't meet the test of the marketplace or whatever we call the healthcare marketplace. We need to think of other ways to provide incentives for people to get coverage, but not try to coerce them and say it's our way or nothing else.
Exactly. Well, Tom, you've been studying this from day one. What's your recommendation? You know, how is it? Is there anything salvageable here? You know, because I got to imagine. I mean, to do a wholesale repeal replacement right straight across the board is going to be too shocking for everybody's system here.
Well, that's correct, and it's a lot of its time frame. And our politics is very unusual, where it's hard to get consensus on much of anything, and then when you have to do it through Congress, there's reasons why. Maybe thankfully, in many cases, we don't legislate that often on health care because it's complicated and difficult to get through. Having said all that, where are we going to go to? We're going to probably end up with some type of change in how health care, health insurance in particular, is subsidized to be a little bit fairer to other people who buy their coverage outside of the workplace in the individual market. And there are a lot of people who don't benefit from those subsidies. And one of the ways to change things around would be to level out those subsidies to apply to more people than currently and make them a little less complicated. But beyond that, and this is a hard thing to get through because the way Congress works and some of the budgetary rules, you've got to provide more realistic choices to people out there where they can buy something that they want, need, and can afford, with or without subsidies, and that's going to have to change some pretty thick rules that the Affordable Care Act set up. And make it, if you don't make it where someone wants it and needs it, you can't just command them to do it. And that's fundamentally the problem with the individual mandate. So we're kind of half-hearted about doing it because if you did it too much, there'd be a, you know, political firestorm. So we get kind of these halfway measures and pretend they're all going to work perfectly.
Well, I know right now there's a lot of discussion about free markets, and some people are trying to reconcile that in their mind. But the fact of the matter is that we've been nurtured on the free market system. And so to get away from that becomes a problem, doesn't it?
Well, the problem is that we've been trying to run two different economies, one for health care and one for the rest of the country, I suppose.
Good point. Exactly.
And the two don't intersect, although they love to be able to take money from the rest of the economy to pay for health care, right?
Right.
So until we get to the idea that health care is important to many people, and we want to be especially careful about people who are more vulnerable, whether it's low income or special health care needs, and we need to have, you know, a good conscience and heart about that, it doesn't mean that we can hide every price and have everybody paying everybody else and think you can run it all through Washington. So we're going to have to strip it away a bit at a time as opposed to overnight. But if we can provide better alternative choices for people to go to at their own speed and pace while easing that transition away from this bloated current system, that's about the gradual path in which we might be able to pull this off.
Tom, are these exemptions creating any problems?
Well, not for the people who get them.
Yeah, I know that.
They're happy to have an exemption.
But, you know, but relevant to the calculus of, to, you know, making this work, I see, for my purview, two things. The exemptions, number one. Number two is you've got legislators creating legislation that they're not living under.
Well, that's a whole other issue, which you think about people in public office. And, yeah, there have been some exemptions on that front. So the larger issue is, in terms of exemptions and other loopholes, first, the plan is set up presuming that everybody is going to work a certain way and all be covered by it. And, in fact, because we get political feedback, because you really can't do that, then you start breaking it up into exceptions here and there. And the insurers and other people who relied upon it working one way are told that. Turns out their pricing structure is not correct. And so you get both these combination of losses in the insurance markets, insurers withdrawing, coverage not being as generous as people thought it was going to be, the premiums going up. All those are mismatches which start out from bad assumptions and a grand design which is never going to be carried out that way in practice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tom, you met with the Joint Economic Committee. You know, the House Committee on Ways and Means, I should say. And,
Testimony last week, yes.
Right, exactly. So what was the takeaway there after your meeting with them?
Well, from the members there, in terms of their questions and concerns, they're hearing from their constituents saying this isn't working. And many of these are people who are not the highly subsidized individuals in that particular slice of the exchange markets. And they're saying, why did our premiums go up? Why don't I have the coverage I'd like to get? And so they're the folks who were hurt by this plan. There are the folks who got pretty large subsidies, and they're not going to complain about someone else paying your bills. We understand that. Right. So they're looking for another way to do this than through the individual mandate. And I suggested there's a range of measures which provide some of that assurance that enough people will participate in these markets without forcing them into it, and recognizing that there are other ways also to provide the type that people want, which is protection against being rated against your health status when you change plans or lose your insurance and need to find some other insurance. We can't make things perfect, but we can certainly do better than what we're currently coming
up with. Exactly.
That's what the members are looking for.
Well, Tom Miller, we got to leave it there. Again, we appreciate your expertise. Tom Miller with the American Enterprise Institute, a senior fellow whose focus has been on health insurance regulation and, of course, market-based alternatives to Obamacare. Tom Miller, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Have you ever wanted
a shortcut
to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously
grow your business?
Whether it's a new business,
a part-time income,
or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success
for free.
Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite.
Go to secretsignite.com.
That's secretsignite.com.
Get your free copy now.
Go to secretsignite.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, four-season sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Live. Hey, just wait, like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. I'm Bill Martinez, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Scotty Nell Hughes with us now, news director and chief journalist for the Tea Party News Network, as well as a contributor to Patriot TV and PatriotUpdate.com. Scotty, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, and it is a great day to be American. I opened up my morning watching the president talk about how truly happy is not the wealth in your bank account, but being a part of a family. And I just watched Rex Tillerson address the State Department. It is truly, and I'm watching Democrats act like babies by boycotting the Pruitt vote. So
yeah,
you know what? I think it's a great day in America.
Well, you know, and the thing is, Scotty, you know, my word to the Democrats is, look, get on board here. You know, get out of this stuff. I mean, you know, the safe zones you're looking for and all this other stuff. Look, you guys missed it. You missed what was happening in this country. Now open up your ears and listen to what's going on and be about the people's business. And we got a lot of heavy lifting to do here, and we need your help. We don't need your pouting, and we don't need you not showing up for, you know, the people's business. This is ridiculous. You're making yourself look rather immature and infantile.
They are, but I'll say on a purely selfish manner, keep this up, because this guarantees that they will not have any sort of victory in 2018 or 2020. Not like I was worried about it at all, but you never know. Republicans, we have been known to shoot ourselves in the foot.
Right.
As long as they're acting like this, as long as I'm having to buy Kleenex stock because I know Chuck Schumer is going to be appearing more on television, I'm really, truly disappointed in them, expected, and like I said, they're helping us at this stage. Just like last night, It truly was a violent act of violence at the University of Berkeley.
Berkeley, yes, exactly.
Berkeley. And how I am just stunned today, how people are saying, I even heard a pundit on TV this morning say that it was Milo's fault, that he deserved it.
Well, of course.
And I'm going, the key is folks for so long have not recognized that our country is divided because the conservatives and the grassroots have been bullied into silence. And now they're shocked to see us pushing back, and there's more of us than them, and they don't know how to handle it.
Well, how do you push back against, against insanity? I mean, there's no depth. It's all passion. It's all being misguided. It's all being orchestrated. They don't even know what they believe in, Scotty. And, you ask them a question and, they have about the depth of a bumper sticker or the depth of the poster that has been manufactured and put in their hands for them. And, meanwhile, they're building, they're burning down buildings that they themselves paid for. Their campus, which is a gorgeous campus, if you've ever been there, has been turned upside down. People who go there to be educated pay a lot of money. Now it's all being compromised for what? Because of supposedly, our college campuses are supposed to be bastions of free thought and expression. And it's supposed to be the ultimate experimental laboratory, and all that's being quenched out in the name of some sort of false narrative here.
Well, and I went back this morning and looked up how Ronald Reagan dealt with protesters and the media and the faculty. This is like Throwback Thursday to Ronald Reagan when he was governor, as they were destroying buildings, and they were declaring parts of the campus to be a public park so that they could protest in it. And he looked at him and said, they don't have the right. The kids do not get to wake up in America, and how dare you professors teach them and tell them that they have the rights to pick and choose which laws they like and which freedoms they want to abide by hurting others. They do not have that right.
Right.
And so, it's once again, this is, bad parenting. This is what happens when you have free range parenting, I think.
That's right.
And the kids feel like, that they're snowflakes. When they don't get their way, they act this way. And it's very sad. It's very scary. But the good news is that we're winning this war.
Right.
For once, I actually have hope that we're winning the narrative for future generations, that the progressives are not going to be able to continue their agenda that they have for the last 8 years.
Well, Scotty, to your point, first of all, it's an act of lawlessness, all right? And law-abiding people, this is why Trump brought back into focus the idea that we are a nation of laws, that he's going to be the law and order president, so that you've got to speak against lawlessness and call it for what it is. And there needs to be, that needs to come across loud and clear, because as you say, what's at risk here is this generation. Are these the kids not only at Berkeley, but around the country who think that this is acceptable behavior? This is absolutely destructive. It is not in their best interest. We are on the verge of another industrial revolution, which means jobs, dreams being realized, hope reigning supreme. And these kids are going to be left in the dust. I mean, what are they going to be like 10 years down the road when all the other kids who got it and said, hey, look, I'm going to leave that stuff behind and I'm going to focus on myself and my family and be constructive and productive. What is going to be the difference between those kids and the kids that found a safe place and stuck their thumbs in their mouths and fell down in the fetal position?
Well, the good news is we survived the hippies growing up. And I think what happens is they start getting a paycheck and they start realizing how much the government's taking out. And they start realizing where they went wrong and adjusting those thinking to actually realistic thinking for the days. What scares me about this, and this is, bad kids grow up to be bad parents most of the time. And then they raise more bad kids.
Right.
And so it's, as I sit back and I watch, and I have my own children have to interact with it. I had my 10-year-old son at the march in Washington, mainly because we were there for the inauguration.
Yes.
And I watched his eyes and the conversations. What scares me about this generation is they're being exposed. There's no longer this idea of protecting the innocent. Of protecting the childhood eyes. When I've got women marching around with body parts on their heads and screaming that that is feminism, and then I have to turn around and explain that to my son, why he should still look at a woman and respect her because of what he had, the image he now has in his head. I'm really weary of the idea of the lack of respect we have now, but more importantly, the lack of innocence in this next generation. They've been exposed to things way too quickly, way too early. And I fear what we're going to have to be dealing with down the road.
Well, that is the downside of the information age in which we live in, Scotty. And I know that you are a national spokesperson for freedomvine.com. You know, to bring some discipline, to bring some standard into the news reporting process, especially as it relates to social media, because people have been running amok here. They think just because they have a computer or some a microphone or a blog that they can just let it fly. And, you know, and people need to be discerning to understand when there is opinion and when there is news reporting. And there is a clear difference between the two. And I think journalists around the country are starting to realize that their profession has been a little bit hijacked. And if they don't take a stand, then they're, you know, they are already compromised and it's only going to get worse.
I know it's going to shock those snowflakes that I hope are listening to your show, even though I doubt they are, because that would mean that they were trying to open their minds.
Right.
But we have First Amendment rights, too. I know that's shocking to you. We have freedom of speech, too. The conservatives, those on the right, those are the part of the GOP, we have rights in this country. Our rights are just as much guaranteed as yours. And we saw in this last election season where time and time again, people were hurt because of their rights. Because they went out there and they expressed their opinion, most of the time against the progressive agenda, against Hillary Clinton, and they were thrown into Facebook jail or kicked off Twitter, Milo himself, and others because of what they said. Yet you have far more angry, hateful, violent things being said on there when you could track back some of these, even some of the people that we've seen commit acts of terrorism. Here in America, we go back on their Facebook page, and you can see the things they were saying.
Exactly.
And yet those don't get censored. Those don't get caught. But if I post an anti-Hillary meme during the campaign season, I was probably going to be put in Facebook jail.
Right.
And that's the reason why I signed on to this program, this project of Freedom Vine, is so that people can, you know, that we can have an opportunity, a social media platform that across the board gives everybody the freedom of speech and that in a respectful way.
The disturbing thing, Scotty, additionally, is it's one thing to be in Facebook jail or whatever, social media timeout or whatever that part. But what's worse is when it starts to be acted out. When you're on an airplane and you just want to get from point A to point B, and somebody asks you what you think may be a seemingly innocent question, and if you answer it with any kind of honesty, suddenly it offends them, and you've got ranting and raving going on. People have been accosted. You know, you've got a young man who, in the name of anti-Trumpism, is attacked and he's kidnapped. I mean, this is ridiculous what is happening in our country. It's one thing to have free speech, but of course, as we know, with anything that has to do with our U.S. Constitution, don't forget responsibility is the order of the day.
Absolutely, and that's what's scary. They still think this narrative that the Trump supporters or Republicans, we're the party of hate, we're the party of violence, when every single example we have seen of violence and hate have been against Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. And the ones that have acted out the rallies, we're now finding out, thanks to our friend James O'Keefe, they were purposely in there.
Exactly.
To have acts of violence committed against them, and no one ever called them out on it.
Well, Scotty, it's been less than 2 weeks, and this country is rolling, and it is buzzing. Yes, there's some things, you know, some bumps in the road, which is going to happen with any new president, especially somebody who's not a politician. But he is a smart man, and he's making some smart choices. And this country is a buzz and hope. What do you say?
100%. He's making America great again. It's wonderful.
Scotty Nell Hughes. Scotty, remind everybody where they can go to find out more information about Freedom Vine.
Go to freedomvine.com, sign up. But you can also follow me on Twitter at Scotty Nell Hughes.
Scotty Nell Hughes on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Scotty. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Do you trust the economy? How about our banking system? Our president states that we're sitting on a bubble right now, and when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is outlining rate hikes here and now. There's never been a better time to turn your IRA into physical gold with GSI Exchange. 800-261-5570. That's 800-261-5570. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 800-261-5570. Ask about our Gold and Silver Investors Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfers can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, too. Get the security for your money now. Call GSI Exchange at 800-261-5570. 800-261-5570. That's 800-261-5570.
How did it